Good morning. It's good for all of us to be here to open up a bit of God's Word, to study, to show ourselves approved. This time of the year is when a lot of kids are going to school, and a couple of them are already in school, and it's common for teachers to hand out a syllabus at the front of at the beginning of classes. When they hand out a syllabus, it tells you what you're going to be learning, and it lays out the rules, and it also tells you when tests are coming, when big assignments are due. And I've always had a problem with procrastination. I see that there's a test coming, and even though I see it for weeks and weeks, and I'll study it later, I'll get to it. And it comes up to and the day before, and I cram study, and I never do well on those tests. And it's even worse for pop quizzes. By their nature, they're surprises. And of course, I haven't studied for those ones. I hadn't even studied for the test to begin with. So I've always had a problem with that. And if you look back at all my grades since, I'll look that up later, you can see my grades have always suffered because of procrastination. And I kind of view Bible study the same way. We are told to teach. We are told to go into all the world. If you look at Matthew, the end of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you." The test that we are studying for is to go and teach. And the pop quizzes are like the people who come up and try to teach you. If you're not studying to go and teach and make disciples of all men, then you're definitely not going to be ready when somebody comes up to you and asks you about the Bible. I have a good example of this. About a year ago, a man named, he goes by RC, he came up to me and he asked, "Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you had him in your heart?" And after a long, awkward pause, I just said yes and walked away. That was a failed pop quiz. I very much did not take that opportunity to teach him as I should have. I didn't use that open door to bring the gospel to him, to see where he stands, to correct him if he needs it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you." And this, I often fail that pop quiz. I have not studied to show myself approved. I have not studied, and I'm not ready to give an account, a defense. 2 Timothy is very similar to this, chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed." And that brings up another point. The reason why my answer was just a simple yes and walked away is because I was ashamed. I did not know enough about the Bible to try to teach him. So my answer was, "Yes, I know Jesus as my Savior. Bye." But there's a problem with studying solely for the test. When you study just to pass a test, as soon as that test is over, you tend to just forget it. Our attitudes towards it is more of one like, why would I ever need this stuff? I hear that excuse for math a lot, except I like math, so I won't use that one. So I'll use it for English. When am I ever going to need to know what an adjective is, what a noun is? Why would I need to know how to spell certain words, except you can see PowerPoints. I don't know if I spelled all that correctly, but I don't know when I'd ever need that stuff. But we know from the Bible, it tells us that we should desire the Word. As Brian read this morning in Psalm 19, in verse 10, and we just sang about this also. They are to be more desired than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. We are to desire His Word more than gold, more than wealth, more than riches. We should hunger and thirst for it. As Psalm 42, verse 1 says, and we just sang about that one too. As the deer pants for water brooks, so my soul pants after you. I don't know about you guys, but I don't spend a whole lot of time watching deer, so I don't really relate to how much a deer pants after water. I imagine that the deer works up quite a appetite after spending all day running in front of cars, so it's probably thirsty. So I decided that I'd try my hand at modernizing this verse. So here it goes. As the teen longs for social media, so my soul longs after you. This particular image speaks a little bit clearer to me because I too long for that little square device that sits in my pocket all the time. I constantly am looking through Facebook, I'm constantly playing games, I'm longing for distractions. And if I longed for His Word as much as I long for social media, for gaming, then I'd probably be a lot more prepared for the pop quizzes and for the tests that are coming. David was very dedicated to His Word. All these psalms that I've read so far are from David. And I'd like to read a section of Psalm 119. All of Psalm 119 is dedicated to His Word. Every verse mentions His laws, His commands. And it's 166 verses long of just His words and His commandments and His paths, His ways. Let's read verse 5 through 16. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I will not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me. How can you keep a young man's way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told you all of my ordinances, all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches, and I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes, and I shall not forget your word. We should desire his word like David does here. We should fix our eyes on it, as it says in some versions. We should meditate on his precepts. And we should meditate on it not just for the sole purpose of teaching it for others, but we should also meditate on it for ourselves. The Word of God cleanses us. And I'd like to take a little bit of an in-depth look at John chapter 13. This is when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And this is normally used as a topic for humbling yourself. But I'd like to look at a small section that's in the center here, starting in verse 4 and going through 10. And Jesus got up from supper, and he laid aside his garments and took a towel, and he wrapped it around himself. Then he poured out water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which was around him. So he came to Simon Peter and he said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him and said, "What I do you do not realize, but you will understand later." And he said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part of me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head also. Wash all of me." And this is the point I want to focus in on. Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed need only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you, Peter, are clean, but not all of you." The point I want to point to here is Jesus is telling Peter that you are already cleaned, but you only need to wash your feet. And the image that I want to look at is we are clean as Christians, but we walk around in a sinful world. We walk around and we get caked dirt and sin all over us. And we need the cleansing power of the Word of God to wash our feet, to cleanse us back to wash us clean. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansing her by the washing of water with the word." The word cleanses us. Jesus teaches us that his word will cleanse us and wash us. And one of the ways it does that is evident in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing us as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." It says the word of God is able to judge the thoughts and the innermost intentions. So as we study and as we are cleansing ourselves, as we are washing our feet, his word is exposing our innermost thoughts, our intentions. Another verse I want to look at is James chapter 1. In verse 25. "But no one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in whatever he does." The verses before this are talking about being a doer of the word. He who hears the word and isn't a doer is like one who looks in the mirror and then immediately forgets what he looks like. And as we look on the word, it exposes whether we just hear the word or we hear it and do what it says. So we know that we should study both for ourselves and for to teach other people, but how should we study? For an example of how we should study, I looked at some of the ancient texts of how some of the people in before Jesus' time would study the Bible. If you look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. One of the biggest excuses that we use as procrastinators is we don't have time. We don't have time to study. We are so busy doing social media that we don't have time to pick up His Word and study it. But those excuses are just excuses. We have leisure time. It says talk about it when you are at home. And a modern day example might be in your leisure time. You have leisure time, even if it's not that much, you have some. When you walk by the way, I took that to mean when you exercise. Not everybody exercises, but some people exercise daily or every other day or weekly or once a month maybe. But when you exercise, you can listen to old sermons. You can listen to the Bible on tape or CD, or I don't know how old you are, but you could listen to it while you're exercising. When you travel, when you walk by the way, when you travel to and from work or from the store, you can be listening to the Bible. You can be listening to podcasts. That's where a lot of my inspirations are, podcast. When you lay down and when you rise up, you can set aside time in the morning or in the evening specifically for opening up His Word and studying. You can bind them as a sign on your hand. I remember seeing pictures or slides of the thread wrapped around fingers as a reminder. I don't know of anybody who's actually done that before. But nowadays we set reminders on our phones, or we set reminders, email reminders, calendar reminders. You can set one of those to remind you to make time to study or to pick up God's word and study then. And another thing it says is to write them on your doorpost and on your gate. You could do that if you want, write it physically on your doorpost or gate, but I've also seen those picture verses that are hanging around on walls and stuff like that. You can do that as a reminder to study His Word, as encouragement to rejoice always. But we, as Christians, need to know what to study. We know that we should and we should desire it, but we need to know what to study. Of course, we need to study the New Testament, because that's what brings us salvation. But we should also study the Old Testament, because not everybody understands why they need salvation. They don't know that sin has entered the world. We'll need to start back in Genesis to kind of establish that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, "For though I am free of all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." This verse is telling us that we should not just study the Bible. We should, by all means, study the Bible. But as this world goes further and farther away from Christ, as their limited knowledge of the Bible starts to go away to nothing, we need to study where our audience is. We need to study secular teachings and secular doctrine. We need to study politics and science, because that is where they're coming from. To the Jews, you became like a Jew. To those without the law, you became like those without the law. If you're talking to an evolutionist or an atheist, you're going to need to know a little bit about atheism. You're going to need to know a little bit about evolution, because if you go to an evolutionary person, they are just going to roll their eyes if you start talking the Bible to them. You need to bring them to Christ from their level. And the more you study, the more it'll build you up also. You'll be prepared to teach those. Don't procrastinate. Don't put off studying. We study because we're called to teach, and we don't know when we're going to teach. We need to go out and teach everybody, but sometimes it just is sprung on you. People will come up to you and ask you. So don't procrastinate, because you need to study. We need to desire the Word of God. And personally, I've found that the more I study, the more I look in it, into His Word, and listen to old sermons and commentaries, the more I want to study, the more I want to dig into it. And we study to be cleansed, to have our feet washed. I want to look back at John 13 again. We read through Jesus washing Peter's feet. And he says, "He who has bathed need only wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew that one was going to betray him. And for this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." If we skip down to 21, it continues, "When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in his spirit and testified, saying, 'Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me.' And the disciples began looking at each other at a loss to know which of them was he speaking of. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said to him, 'Tell us who of this you are speaking about.' And he leaned back on Jesus and said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered him, "It is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him." And so he dipped it, the morsel, and he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. It may go over our heads because it's not part of our culture, but in ancient times, when the host would dip the bread and give it to somebody, the host is showing honor to the particular guest. And what I want to draw attention to here is, even though Judas was going to betray him, and Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, even up to the very end, he was extending out his hand. He was reaching out to Judas to come back to him. He said, "Not all of you have been cleansed." And as we come to the end of this service, I want to show you that Judas, as bad as he was, still had the invitation extended to him. And no matter how bad you think you might have been, his hand is extended to you too. Not all of you have been cleansed, but the invitation is extended to you to be cleansed. You can be washed and made clean. Jesus is extending his hand to you now, if you'd like to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.